We need to talk tech now because it's World Sleep Day. We'll be coming up to that. And also, we've got a story about the writing tool Grammarly, which you may have heard about. They've disabled one of their features. We're going to find out more from Fevzi Turkalp, editor of GadgetDetective.com. So what's the latest, Fevzi?
So Grammarly is a subscription-based tool for grammar checking. It's used a lot by students. It helps, but not only students, but it helps them write intelligently and grammatically. It used to be for a long time, you know, grammar checkers never worked, you know, because they could never tell the difference between time flies and fruit flies. They could do spell checking, but not grammar. Now, with the advent of AI and large language models, they've become really rather good, to the point where Grammarly introduced a feature where it would mimic the style of prominent writers, for example, Stephen King, the scientist Carl Sagan, but there's been something of a backlash against it, and they've actually removed the feature, at least for the time being. And I noticed that story because it's kind of interesting, because the technology is now at a stage where we can clone elements of ourselves, or other people can do it. So people could clone your voice and then use it for adverts that you have no connection with. People can also clone themselves as a video avatar. So there's quite a few YouTube presenters now, for example, who they do exist, but they're off doing something else whilst the avatar reads the script.
Yeah.
And to be honest, they're getting quite convincing. I watched one the other day, and it is. When you know what to look for, things like repetitive hand movements and so forth, you can tell. But I think in 6 months' time, you won't be able to tell.
So does this matter? Is that a problem?
I think it is a problem, isn't it? I mean, well, the good side is people are doing it so that, you know, God forbid, if they rely on their voice or whatever and they have a stroke or something, they may be able to continue to work. So people are using it as an insurance policy. But it's obviously also being abused, and that does matter. There's people who make their living from their voices, voiceover artists, actors, all sorts of people, and they can be replaced. They can be copied and replaced. And even if they're not copied, why pay an actor when you can have a virtual actor who never ages and never goes on strike and is going to be handsome or beautiful for 100 years? So it does matter, because it's another area in which and the voice and the appearance is a very personal thing, Clive, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like stealing someone's soul.
Well, yes, I think that's part of the problem. And I do know people, in obviously in the radio and the voice world, who have been at a disadvantage because of this. Some of them illegally. They've just been sampled and used, and that's basically they're being stolen. Others have unwittingly signed away their rights years ago to various things, and then some little voice company was bought by another one, and eventually it's bought by a huge conglomeration. And and the next thing you know, they are all over the place and getting nothing for it. So I can see the downside of that. I also know go on.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to try. I was just going to say, we both know a former presenter on LBC who became, without realising it, became the first UK voice of Siri.
That's true.
Yeah. And he explained it to me at one point. He said, you know, he just did this job where he it was nothing to do with Apple at the time. He just recorded a bunch of phonemes, which are like the little building blocks, a bit like syllables. He recorded all the building blocks of speech so that they can be combined to speak any sentence. And then years and years later, Apple bought the rights to that and turned it into Siri.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you mentioned Grammarly and authors as well. And I noticed there was a big thing this week. I mean, authors in this country are getting very concerned about their books being plundered and AI learning from them. And they issued published a book that got nothing in it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It is slightly worrying on both counts, as far as books are concerned, that you can have that taken in, and then somebody will write a book in the style of that author. And there's also a load of absolute junk books that are being written by AI that are purporting to be proper books.
Yeah, so they call it AI slop, isn't it? And some of it is... I think the AI slop bit of it will go away because it will just get really good and the books won't be junk anymore.
Yeah.
But I think the problem of trying to compete with that, because if you're an author and you might write the best book in the world, but your book may just be drowned out by literally millions of titles being churned out to a very high quality every day. Well, how is your book going to float to the top in that sort of thing? Are we going to have different categories for humans and AI writers? And even if we do, how can you tell? It wasn't so long ago that an AI won a photography competition, and then when the human who entered it, the work as if it were his, he won or they won, and then they took the prize away because it wasn't actually a photo, it was AI generated. But there is a sense in which if you can't tell, does it matter, and in the end these things will be, you will have AI writers who are every bit as creative as anyone else. And as for, trawling the internet, it's hard to know where to draw the line because, in terms of music and other writers, we all have influences.
Mm.
So where does influence end and copying begin? Because it's not straight plagiarizing. It's not just that the law is behind. We've got to have a good think and an understanding of, how we navigate through this in a way that allows us to survive and have a purpose.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, if you think about, if I wanted to, I've heard a lot of ABBA, for example. If I wanted to, I could sit down and do a sort of pastiche of ABBA numbers and I wouldn't be breaking any rules or copyright. But people feel very uncomfortable about AI doing that.
Yes, but then, look at Alvin Stardust. He made a living out of, being rather like a famous rock star, wasn't he?
It's a very grey area,
was the British Elvis, wasn't it? Yeah. I think the thing is, when it's a machine, because it can do it on an industrial scale and it's also not human, we take a different view of it, and understandably so. I don't think there's a really good solution to this, but all the music generation apps like Sona, for example, most of the mainstream AI tools can do it as now. I was generating things using Google Gemini 3.1. It was astounding. The lyrics were great. The production values were fantastic. The only thing about it was short. But that's obviously just a matter of compute, and you'll be able to, what I did was I told it to write the middle eight and then the first verse and then outro. And you can actually build a song in about 15 to 20 minutes, and it's possible, and sometimes it can be a lot more than possible, better than I would produce on my own, certainly.
So, World Sleep Day today, very relevant to our listeners at this time of the morning.
I was thinking that. I didn't want to sort of divest you of your audience, but there is this thing from 2008 that's been going every year, World Sleep Day. And the idea behind it is to encourage people to sleep and point out the health benefits that poor sleep is strongly associated with high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, dementia. There's a lot that goes wrong when we don't sleep properly. And yet it seems that we sleep less and less well. And, our gadgets actually often have something to do with that, the use of screens and so forth. Although you can have, on devices, things like True Tone, which makes the light coming from a screen or a tablet or a smartphone a warmer color because it's blue light that's associated with waking you up and resetting your circadian rhythms. But I actually saw three gadgets that I just thought I'd share with you briefly. One is, and we've talked about this one before, but it is so on point. I thought we'd discuss it again. It's called the Withings Sleep Analyzer, and it's a mat that goes, it's about sort of 8 inches wide and about 2.5 feet long. And you literally put it underneath your mattress. It doesn't matter if the mattress is very thick. It works remarkably well. And it measures your sleep. It measures how much you sleep, how much of that was deep sleep, how much of it was REM sleep, how much of it was light sleep. Light sleep, important, because you can sleep eight hours, but if it's all predominantly light sleep, that's not restorative sleep.
Tell me about it. How can a mat tell whether you're sleeping or not?
It's very interesting. I mean, one thing is it's got a microphone in it in which you can actually choose to switch off. I don't think it picks up speech but so much as it does detect snoring, however.
Right. Moving around? Is it detecting your movements?
So if you don't sleep on your own, you can still use it, but you put it on your side of the bed, as it were. But it does, I mean, I've used one of these for years and it does it remarkably well. And I actually cross-reference it with my second gadget, which is an Apple Watch, which many people will own already. And certainly the later ones like the Series 10 and the current Series 11, they have the ability to detect sleep apnea. So sleep apnea is one of the sleep disorders that's very harmful. They think up to a billion people have sleep apnea, you know, essentially one in eight people. And a lot of people are undiagnosed, and it involves people stopping breathing several times an hour, sometimes 20 times an hour. And when you don't get enough oxygen, that affects your heart, predictably, and your brain, predictably, and it can lead to some really deadly illnesses. And there are things that people can do. I mean, if you're diagnosed, you can use something known as a CPAP machine, a continuous airway machine. You wear a mask, and it blows air down your throat. They are awful devices, I think, but they're life-saving devices. Interestingly enough, there are new technologies that are, you know, coming in. CPAP is still the gold standard, but they use things like electrical stimulation to try and keep the airway open. The other thing is weight loss drugs, which are obviously, you know, very, very popular now. Sleep apnea is associated with obesity. The more you weigh, the more likely you are to have sleep apnea. So that's not to say all obese people have sleep apnea or all that have sleep apnea are obese, but there is a big overlap between those two things. So people using drug therapies to actually lose weight can be huge, because it really is a silent killer. People dying of strokes, people having their lives ruined. You know, and most of it's preventable. That's the thing. So Apple Watch Series 11, I recommend that. So, and what's interesting about it, I use both of these to track my sleep. And although they don't give exactly the same picture, they very much give the same general picture about how you slept, how long you slept, how much of the sleep was useful sleep. So I trust it. I like the Withings sleep map because you don't have to wear it and you don't have to charge it. One of the problems with it on an Apple Watch, or in fact anything that you wear, be it a smart ring or a smart watch, is you have to charge it. And if it's monitoring you and you're wearing it during the day and now you're wearing it at night, it begs the question, when are you meant to charge it? Luckily, the Series 11 watch is charged more quickly. And so you can literally take it off for about half an hour whilst, you know, getting ready for bed or something. And then, but you just have to remember to do it. The Apple Watch has the benefit that it's a more sophisticated device in terms of the breadth of things that it can do. So it doesn't just track your heart rate, but tracks your movement and so forth. When Apple developed the Apple Watch and first brought it to market, my sense was that they didn't really know what it was for. They did it because they could, but it could do so many different things that they didn't know how to market it. But now, you know, sleep monitoring and using very sophisticated algorithms now to work out trends and illnesses, things that it doesn't directly measure. Like sleep apnea, it can now say, you know, we think you might have sleep apnea, you should talk to a doctor, just by measuring indirect things like your movement whilst you're sleeping and so forth can, you know, do that. The final one that I had, the final gadget, was from a brand called Soundcore. All one word. It's called the Sleep A30, and they look like a pair of earbuds that you wear, you know, as headphones. But actually, they have the noise cancelling bit, but they don't have them play the music in your ear bit. And what it does is it cuts out noise. So if you sleep with someone who is snoring, or your neighbours are particularly noisy, These things can pop in your ear. You can still sleep on your side without it being uncomfortable. Oh. Yeah, because, you know,
so they're like earplugs, but a tech version of them.
Yeah, because they have active, what's called ANC, active noise cancelling. So they've got microphones that listen to the sound that's coming into your ear and then cancel it. And you know the way that waves can cancel each other out.
Mm.
That can work with sound waves as well. So it can actively cancel or dramatically reduce the sound waves coming in. I think those are about £107, I saw them. I gave those a 4-star rating. And what I would say, I mean, there's lots of places you can buy these. Amazon is a reasonable place to buy it because they have the, you know, 30-day money-back guarantee. And these sorts of devices, they're very personal. I mean, although they're all very good, you might find that one of them doesn't really, you know, suit your lifestyle or your preferences. So Amazon is a good place to get them. And also I think they've got £10 off when you spend more than £75 at the moment. So those, you know, so that means that you can get the sleep analyzer for about £84. Normally it's about £130. The Apple Watch is not cheap, but the smaller one, it comes in two sizes. The smaller one can be had for about £272. The bigger one's about £319. And the Soundcore Sleep A30 is just over £100. So I think that these are good things to try. And I'm just aware that, you know, technology often keeps us awake. So I think it's about time that it sort of helped us with this problem as well as making it worse.
Definitely. Fevzi, thank you very much.